AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. Today is Tuesday, September the 30th, 2025. Thanks for listening. As the announcer told you, I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Tim. How you doing this morning?
Doing good. It's a beautiful day here in Tupelo. How about there?
It is equally beautiful here. The sun is shining. Blue sky, 73 degrees, no wind. A good day for golf or a good day for a bike ride, whichever is your pleasure.
Yeah. Fishing or Wesley?
Fishing.
Yeah. Now, when you say fishing, yeah, I do fish some. I enjoy fishing. But right now, I have three kids, and only one of them can fish without my help.
So if you sign up for that,
I don't fish.
You're going to be doing a lot of
That's
work.
Right. Huh? I wish I could share an image over the radio, but I can't. But just visualize my last trip coming home and having two pink poles, all in which at the top was a nest of a line.
Yeah, that'll give you a bad attitude.
Oh yeah.
I saw that and heard the Andy Griffith theme. Theme in my head.
You know what I do with this now?
What's that?
I just take it and I just cut it. And then I redo it.
That's the easiest way
to
do it.
Just redo it.
I don't blame you.
Work smarter, not harder.
Hey, real quick on that note though, it was just a week ago. Maybe two, lose track of time. In the last couple of weeks, we were out there fishing, enjoying the beautiful.
You and your three kids.
Yes, sir. Right. Me and my three kids out there enjoying fishing. Bennett, my oldest, he's 10. He's fishing on his own. He can catch fish, take the fish off, and rebait it all by himself. Well, I got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Daughters.
And the 4-year-old daughter, she didn't care enough about it right now. She's running around having a good time. Well, Landry, our middle one, 7, she's enjoying it, but she's not as advanced as far as doing it on her own. So she's casting. All that said, after about an hour of just literally being persistent, casting and throwing the best she knows how, she caught the biggest fish for that day. And you want to talk about a 10-year-old older brother, competitive nature coming out. He just started like, I'm like, you have to be happy for her. He was like, yeah, but that's not fair. And I'm like, it's not fair. You've caught 4 already. Anyways.
She caught the biggest one.
Yeah, she caught the biggest one. She caught a 2.5-pounder. They're just casting on her
own. I just wanted people to know that when you said you got two pink fishing poles, that you have two daughters.
That's a good point, yes.
Okay, now I know that boys use pink baseball bats now.
That's a new thing.
I'm against it. But huh, Ray?
It's not right.
That's not right.
No.
But anyway.
Yeah, in the sports world, there's neon colors
everywhere.
It's okay.
Yeah, all right. So.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so how big was the fish?
It was about a 2. She caught my daughter, 7-year-old Landry, caught about a 2.5-pound bass.
That'll fight you there.
It'll fight, yeah. Oh,
especially for a 7-year-old girl.
Yeah, and I was able to, in real time, I grabbed my phone real quick, put on record, got it on video, sent it around to the family, and proud for her. But right now, they're in school, so there's no fishing going on right now, and we're at work, so we got things to cover.
Yeah, so basically the life lesson there is if you get all your fishing line tangled up, just cut it.
Yeah, start over.
Cut it and start over.
That'll teach, won't it?
That's right. All right, so Ray, give us a good word from the Bible this morning, if you would.
Well, from the book of Job, Marlene and I were reading. We're doing our Bible listening, and today just happened to come to Job chapter 19. A lot of people think, oh, the book of Job, I don't know what I can get out of that. But you come to chapter 19, it's one of the greatest statements in all the Old Testament. Job, who had lost his kids, who had lost his fortune, had lost his reputation, had lost his health. He's there sitting on he's scraping himself, sitting in the ash heap, and these three friends, the miserable comforters, come to him and they blame him for all of his problems. And Job then, in chapter 19, Tim, he says this, after listing all the things he'd been through, he said, but I know that my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
And in the end, he will stand upon the earth. It's a good thing to know. It's even better to know that you have a Redeemer. And it's really wonderful to know that you have a Redeemer who is living right now. And the best thing may be to know that in the end of days, there is the Redeemer coming, who is, we know now, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will stand upon the earth. And then he says, even after my skin has been destroyed, he means after I die, yet in my flesh I will see God. I will see him for myself. My eyes will behold him and not as a stranger. This is the highest point of Job's faith. It's one of the highest points in all the Old Testament. Friends, it's good to know. It's better to know you have a Redeemer. It's wonderful to know that he is living. It's better yet to know that he's coming back. And the best of all is that when the Redeemer comes back, we will see him. And he will see us. And we will know him, not as a stranger, but as a friend. So whatever you're slogging through today, remind yourself you have a Redeemer, a living Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, he is coming back. And when he does, we will see him and we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Better days are coming for the people of God. Hang on. Hang on, child of God. Better days are on the way.
Amen. Amen, brother. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. And thank you, Ray, for that word from the Bible, that good word from the Bible. Go ahead.
Yes.
Chris, have you ever felt like Job?
At times. And then, you know.
We want specifics.
Well, it is funny sometimes. Like, you'll think, you know, your world is falling apart because of this, this, or this. And then you go to a church service or you come here and you hear prayer time from some of your coworkers and you realize how small your problems are compared to other people. So whether it's the story of Job or even when you sit in a prayer meeting with other people, you realize that, you know, oftentimes what you think is the biggest issue in the world is very insignificant compared to the situations other people are going through.
Yep, that's true.
All right, well, tell us about some insignificant issues in the world.
Yes.
Going on here, Chris.
All right, so what we now call the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, he gave a very fiery speech today to members of the military, and I've got three cuts here, all of which are clips that are trending on social media. And I say trending because a lot of people liked what Hegseth had to say. Some people were like, I can't believe he said that, or I can't believe he said it that way. Let's begin here. When it comes to, like, fitness, specifically the fitness of generals, War Secretary Pete Hegseth is tired of seeing overweight soldiers and overweight generals. Clip 11.
If the Secretary of War can do regular hard PT, so can every member of our joint force. Frankly, it's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world. It's a bad look. It is bad, and it's not who we are. So whether you're an airborne ranger or a chairborne ranger, a brand new private or a four-star general, you need to meet the height and weight standards and pass your PT test. And as the chairman said, yes, there is no PT test. But today, at my direction, every member of the joint force at every rank is required to take a PT test twice a year, as well as meet height and weight requirements twice a year, every year of service. Also today, at my direction, every warrior across our joint force is required to do PT every duty day. Should be common sense. I mean, most units do that already.
Now, PT means physical training?
Yes. So he wants them to be able to run obstacle courses, do the same push-ups, chin-ups, pull-ups, all that stuff.
It's the same thing for any law. It varies of how much and what it is, but it's the same thing for police officers, and those that serve in other law enforcement. When you are responsible for protecting and defending, you ideally would like to be more physically fit than the person that you could potentially, your threat that you could potentially go up against. So this is common sense. I do think it's interesting. It's the first I've heard of him saying, let's bring this also to those that are in charge behind the desk as well. So that was the first I heard that.
When you sit at a desk for long periods of time and you don't get up so much, you tend to...
You know what? Maybe we need to institute this.
<That's> right. I knew it was coming.
Here we go.
I need to have a speech with our staff here and tell them to... You're going to have to buff up.
You're going to make health of you great again.
Buff up or slim down?
Or same, both.
That's right.
Both. I'll let you talk to the ladies. But
we're all going to have to bike back and forth to the Ray's house.
Listen, in all seriousness, I think what... this is interesting, very interesting. This is Pete Hegseth. He's the Secretary of War. They are, you call it Secretary of War or War Secretary?
Either one. They
okay, formerly known as the Secretary of Defense, a cabinet-level position for the for President Trump, Pete Hegseth. And he is speaking there. Who all, do you know who all was in attendance? It was
800 of the top U.S. military leaders, including generals, admirals at the Marine Corps base in Quantico.
Is this the same meeting where we read about a couple of days ago that President Trump and Pete Hegseth had summoned? Or was this already planned? Does anybody know?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so
this is where he said Diaz dead.
Yes, I have that as well.
Okay, we got
okay,
that audio.
So Ray, he's
no more fat generals at the Pentagon.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'm sure the Pentagon leaders were happy to hear that. But
now, he said height and weight, didn't he? What he said?
I may have been just paraphrasing.
Yeah, no,
I mean he.
No, you did say he did say fat.
Yeah,
he said FAT.
Oh yeah,
he did. He tired of seeing that at the Pentagon, so. I mean, that's not exactly Dale Carnegie, how to win friends and influence people, but it is how you get, right, it's how you develop a world-class fighting force.
Yeah, that's right? What he's getting at, yeah.
Right, we want the best of the best.
And he's saying the leadership needs to be an example.
Lead by example.
Yeah, I don't know what age that applies to. AGE, I'm saying.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
I'd imagine that there's also a formula for those that are...
You can't ask a 65-year-old to do the same thing you ask a 35-year-old to do.
No, but you can ask
not
him.
Fair.
Yeah.
It's not
well, you fair. Can ask him, but he's not going to be able to do it, right?
Yeah. I think in that case, he would be more referencing to being overweight in that case, less more so than physical. But, yeah. But I do think the point that was interesting when he said if you were to be on a battlefield and you looked across there and you saw that there were – fat people, overweight people, is not as intimidating, and there is something to be said about the psychological effect that someone who has been disciplined over countless times to meet a physical requirement, there is that is a factor too. That
yeah,
is interesting.
I don't know. You know, I'm sure they got this figured out, but also there's a lot of you know, somebody five.
Well, that's
somebody. Well, no, this I'm talking about a woman. Say a woman. I know you're not supposed to talk about a woman's weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, he wants them to pass the same PT stuff. He wants them to be.
Who's going
to
tell them they're overweight?
Good point. He did not. He did not say fat women, but he did. He did. He does want women that
big
are in combat.
Go with big boned.
He does want women in combat to go through
large
the same
frame.
Trains.
Yeah.
Large frame. Healthy.
Yeah. We are losing.
But what I'm saying is, I'm sure they got this figured out. Then we will move on from this subject. So I think we milked it for all it's worth.
I have though from Hegseth.
I'm just saying that some people are built different, so that if let's say a 5'5 woman may weigh someone maybe 180, but they're fit. And where somebody weigh 150 and they're not.
Yeah, so. I don't think necessarily that in a priority that the weight is much as being physical fit. So you could now I would say that in most cases they both go hand in hand and they're joint. But to your point, there may be a few exceptions that someone may be slightly overweight, but they meet all the physical training requirements. So therefore, I think I would assume they would pass. But you're talking about an exception to the overall rule, yes. Which is he wants to prioritize physical training and passing physical tests.
Yeah. All right, next, what else you got
there? Secretary Hegseth also wants to do away with all the woke stuff in the military. Clip 13.
Foolish and reckless political leaders set the wrong compass heading, and we lost our way. We became the woke department, but not anymore. No more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses. No more climate change worship. No more division, distraction, or gender delusions.
Now, he went on, and I had to cut it there. By the way, I have posted the entire speech on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Don't watch it with
you
the kids.
You said he went on?
There was some language, yes.
Okay.
Oh, you mean, well, I love that.
No more dudes in dresses? More dudes in dresses. What he said?
Yes.
Go.
I love that. What he just said was awesome.
And that is why.
What, he slipped off in some bad language there?
Well, you know, he's a military guy. He might... My dad was a sailor. I mean, he used some PG-13
words. Oh, you cuss like a sailor?
Emphatic.
He used some PG-13 words in the speech that we didn't bring into the show.
So we all have to...
We can't play that on this radio station.
No. Not according to Brent, no.
We all sat at this table, and Ed was in here as well.
Yeah.
When we all had slight, like, question marks about Pete Hegseth because of, quote, his background in military, which, of course, he served. There was slight, like, questions now, but for me, I withheld anything because of statements like that that he was already making before he was before President Trump put him in his position, okay, selected him.
Yeah.
All right, next.
And now he's doing stuff like that, and that's exactly why he didn't get in his position and change his mind. He's always had that position.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's some of the controversies that are not controversial with us, but controversy. The liberal Democrats were going, oh yeah. I mean, right, what he said a while ago, right?
No,
there, talk about triggering people
in dresses.
That triggered them. Yes. I want to hear that again though. That's like playing a song, you know, that you want to hear a second time, you know.
Yes.
I want to hear
back
that.
Back by popular demand.
Foolish and reckless political leaders set the wrong compass heading, and we lost our way. We became the woke department, but not anymore. No more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses. No more climate change worship. No more division, distraction, or gender delusions.
No more. What do you say about no more recognizing
climate change distraction?
Yeah. Well, the climate change worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the that per, and then no more identity.
Gender dysphoria.
Yeah.
Identity. Anyway, what else has he got here, Chris?
Well, this one's short and sweet, but basically he just wants the military to be better again. Clip 12.
You love your country, and we love this uniform, which is why we must do better.
Amen. Well,
that's it?
Yeah.
I halfway through popcorn.
It was
5 seconds.
I had to chop it down.
You had to chop it down. There was some grown man language there.
Yeah. Well, listen, Pete Hegseth is the war secretary. He barely made it.
Mm-hmm.
Barely was confirmed.
Yeah.
But I know people, I don't know him personally, but I know people who do know him personally, and they're very impressed with him. He's, you know, this is who he is, and this is what he believes, and what he's advocating for, well, he's not advocating for, he's putting into place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm talking about Pete Hegseth in the military, really is only reestablishing how the armed forces used to look. How they used to be, before all this. So he called it woke, the woke department.
Yeah.
Before all the woke stuff came into the military, and by the way, caused the United States military all branches to dive in terms of recruitment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, major tanks.
And then when President Trump was elected and Pete Hegseth came in to be Secretary of War, the recruiting numbers have gone way, way up. in the military. Now, I believe, I can't prove this, but Ed's talked about this too. You have, a lot of times in the military, you have generational service. So somebody's great-grandfather did, and then their grandfather did, and then they did, you know, that kind of thing, a family lineage. Well, that stopped, well, really stopped around the Obama years because of all the woke garbage that started coming into the military. And then when they forced them to take the COVID vaccine, a ton more left, right? Or either they fired them. They said, if you don't take the COVID vaccine, we don't want you in the military. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
so
right.
that caused a big problem too. So, but with the election of President Trump, with Pete Hegseth, Ray, the numbers of recruiting in the United States military are going way, way back up. Go ahead.
Well, I noted that in the speech, and Chris, you may have this somewhere, he actually said out with, and he named a number of modern day military leaders, including General Milley. Mm-hmm. And then he said in with, and one of them was Norman Schwarzkopf of the first Gulf War.
Storm and Norman.
Yeah. And then he named General Patton. Mm. And I just think there's a lot of, particularly veterans around the country, who would stand up and cheer and say, well, it's about time.
Oh, yeah, they are.
To Storm and Norman and back to George Patton.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show. On American Family Radio, Tim, Wes, and Chris, and Ray. Go ahead. What's your next story?
Well, for the purposes of time, since we're coming up on a break, I do want to point out that Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry does indeed and has officially now requested National Guard troops to help combat crime in Louisiana. Clip 10.
We're sending the Department of War a request to send the National Guard, asking them to deploy the National Guard here in Louisiana into our cities like New Orleans and Baton Rouge and others, so we can continue to reduce the amount of violence on our streets. Why would you not want your citizens to be safe? We started to see violence start to trickle down in the city of New Orleans, and lately we've seen an uptick. So I'm calling the president today. I sent a letter to Secretary Hegseth and said, hey, we want some orders. Please send us some troops, and we are going to crack down on violence in the city of New Orleans.
That's the governor of Louisiana right
Jeff
there?
Jeff Landry, former attorney general, knows a thing or two about the law. So,
the only question I would have there, and I know there's a good answer to it, is if he's the governor, why doesn't he call out the National Guard himself?
Yeah, that's a great point. Many people have talked about that. Why, you know, this is almost a situation why you can't keep depending on the federal government when you have the power to do things yourself. Some people have pointed that out.
Particularly New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Baton Rouge maybe. They have high crime numbers. I'm not sure, but I know New Orleans does, and per capita is very dangerous place.
Yeah,
per capita, and I'm sure there's lots of lovely places that are safe in New Orleans, but there are enough to where the crime numbers are again per capita are way up there. Same with Jackson, Mississippi, with St. Louis. With Memphis, there's a lot of cities. Well, that's a Mississippi River there, right? Now, it must be something about the river, you think?
Something's in the water.
Something's in the water. There you go, Chris. Something's in the water. No, I don't know what's going on there, exactly why those cities are dangerous, again, per capita. All right, next story. We got to take a break.
Yeah.
Let's take a break right here. So the governor of Louisiana is asking President Trump for help.
Mm-hmm. Officially.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that, because the governor and or the mayor, I don't know how the mayor of New Orleans feels about that, but really she's second under the governor in terms of who's in control of the state.
Right.
I'm sure the governor would like to work with the mayor. Maybe the mayor of New Orleans wants help too in policing the streets of New Orleans. But anyway. All right, let's take a break right here, and we'll be back with more of Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
Finally, some good news. Over 38,000 babies saved and more than 4,000 commitments to Christ through the ministry of Preborn this year alone. Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Preborn's networks of clinics provide hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action across America. This is Ed Vitagliano. Will you join Preborn and AFR as we rescue 70,000 babies' lives this year? For $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and help save a baby's life. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Westy, Chris, and Ray. And as always, we thank you for listening. Westy, how can folks watch this here show if they'd like to do that? Or download our podcast, they'd like to do that.
Are you sure you want to ask me that? Because the last two times I have failed.
Well, this is third time of charm.
Okay, all right.
Redeem yourself.
Let's redeem ourselves here.
How could you fail at that?
Well, because I left out, I think it was YouTube, because I remember we were banned for so long, and then you apparently we're back on, but I didn't know we were back on.
Right. Well,
so, okay.
YouTube's put us back on because...
Thanks to...
Well... We got back on. Let's just say that.
And no, we're only back on YouTube on the days that Ed's not in here.
Brent paid him off. what'd you have to pay him, Brent? Get us back on there. I just closed the amount of money.
No, I'm yeah, kidding. Ed. It's not just because, or it's not only on the days that Ed's here. We are back on YouTube. Today's issue's live on YouTube.
Basically, we got banned because during COVID, Ed was throwing the words like ivermectin around, Hydra, whatever Portland. It was. That one. Anyway, tell them how they can watch on the internet.
I recommend going to stream.afa.net. That's our own streaming platform. That's stream.afa.net. You can also go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues Live. Today's Issues Live, or you can go to YouTube and look up Today's
Facebook.
Issues.
We're on Facebook.
I meant
too.
To Facebook. Yeah,
Facebook and YouTube.
We also the AFR app is another great place to download that because you can listen to that.
Yeah,
even if you get outside the terrestrial
radio stations. Mm-hmm. What about in the podcast? People want to listen if they want to listen on demand.
That's going to be AFR.net. That's AFR.
Okay.
AFR.net. We have all of our radio programs podcasted there, meaning archived, so you can go back and listen.
Right.
If there's something you missed. So, and we got a handful, not many, but we got five or six. Programs that are about 30 minutes that are exclusive to our podcasting, which are not on our radio network, but you can get those you can get those podcasts at AFR.net. Now they're exclusive, but you don't have to pay for them. They're not charged for them. We just don't have room on our radio network throughout the day to play them. So we host them there at AFR.net.
Stephen McDowell's show, which is podcast only, from the Providence Foundation, is called America's Providential History, and it's excellent. It's aired weekly,
only online.
So. All right. Speaking of a show only online, Jenna has one as well, once a week, and joining us right now is Jenna Ellis. She's host of the live radio show Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio, heard 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time. On AFR each weekday morning, and she's also host of On Demand, her podcast, her weekly podcast, which is also found at AFR.net. AFR.net is where our podcasting is hosted. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. Great to be with you guys.
Hey, they're not puppies anymore, are they? Your dogs.
No, they're... My dogs, yeah, Todd and Copper, they're maybe teenagers at this point if we're counting dog years. Because today actually is their gotcha day 2 years ago, which is the celebration of when you get your dog. It's called the gotcha day. It's a big thing on Instagram. I didn't actually know about it until Instagram. But today, 2 years ago, is when I got both of them. So they're a little over two now.
Well, we used to hear them every once in a while. Where are they now?
You know what is so great about having a house with a backyard,
right,
is that I can set up radio and have the screen door open, and they can come in and out, and they play mostly outside. And so it's not as we don't have a lot of, you know, as many.
And you got
Amazon
a fence.
Packages.
You got a fence, just to
yes,
be clear.
Yes, absolutely.
But a screen door in the summer in Florida, and you got it open.
Well, you know, Florida is actually, we're past the heat of the summer. I was telling Brent before coming on, it's actually a little bit cloudy today.
Yeah.
And so it's not bad.
Okay.
And they love
being outside. Seen the size of, I've seen the size of those mosquitoes in Central Florida.
Yes.
And I just know they can carry off a small dog sometimes.
Well, occasionally. Oh, see, there
we go.
Copper's chiming in. He heard his name.
They know I'm calling their names. Yeah. Listen to that. All right. So, Jenna, on a more serious and somber note, I know you were friends with Charlie Kirk and his wife, Erica. I was talking to you / texting you the day he passed and then the subsequent days, and you were in shock, as we all were. What do you want to say about what happened there, about Charlie? What do you give you an opportunity to speak on that?
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate that. And doing my live show the day after he was murdered was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever done. And I know listeners who tuned into that show, and that's on the podcast as well, our September 11th program, I was crying, I think, almost all the way through, just because of how terrible the situation was. I mean, this would have been difficult if he had, you know, suddenly died in a car accident or, you know, some other kind of other thing like that. But to have this so brutally murdered just on video, you know, in front of everyone, and to recognize that he was targeted just really for his Christian faith. I think, to me, you know, now it's been almost 3 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow. It's really, for me, been a point of conviction that I need to take advantage of every opportunity I have to speak the truth of the gospel of Christ, even more than I do. And, you know, some people may be saying, well, Jenna, you get to do that every day on the radio in the morning. And that's true. But we all have more opportunities than we think. And one of the things, as I've been seeing all of the reels of Charlie and seeing how he professed his faith so clearly, he did that in a way that's just such clear communication and with such conviction that I think speaks to all of us that we all need to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And I also love how there has been such an inspiration to not just profess our faith, but to go back to church, to be involved in a local church as the Bible calls us to, back to marriage and family. I mean, all of these things that are so wholesome. And that's really what I saw in Charlie in our friendship. I met him about a decade ago when he was really young. And then I got to know him more personally in 2019 when we were founding fellows together at Liberty University, and he had just started dating Erica at the time. And instead of just being so focused on politics and, you know, big government sucks was kind of their bumper sticker, right, for TPUSA, and they were so focused on capitalism and conservative policy, all that's great. But when Erica came into his life and he was focused on family, that really changed him. And TPUSA started TPUSA Faith, and he got even more centered on saying it's not just the policy that matters, that does matter, but the fight really and the message really is the redemptive work of Christ. And he became even more bold in his faith. And that, I think, is ultimately what people are already remembering him for, is that boldness. And that's really when he started that was when he got married and had a family. And I love that because that is God's design for us. And there's a real testimony in that as well. And I just, Tim, I still can't believe that he's gone. And there are times where, you know, it just hits me again that this actually happened. And I just pray for Erica and for his two little kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Ray, you have any thoughts or comments on or question?
You know, Jenna, one of the things that we're seeing around the country is this unbelievable response among young people. I mean, Charlie knew how to speak to the, let's say, late teens up through the early 30s. I mean, he had the heart of that generation right in his hand. Now, Charlie is gone, but we're seeing around the country, talking to pastors around the country, I'm hearing about new people coming to church, Jenna, that have not come maybe in years, and some people who drifted away are coming back. I talked to one pastor in Montana, and he used an interesting word. He said, I see these people coming in, and they're gritty. They have grittiness about them. That is, they're not just here for pleasure, but they, since Charlie's assassination, something has happened. It's almost like there's been a shift inside a whole generation. So, Jenna, what are you seeing in terms of what's happening around the country? And do you think this portends perhaps a greater move of God toward, we've all been praying for revival for a long time. Could this now bring us to the brink of a great spiritual awakening?
I hope so. And I think that Charlie would have absolutely loved that, to know that his life was in any way a small or big part of that catalyst. And I agree with you. I mean, what we're seeing is so unique right now. I think it's unprecedented, and it's something we've all been praying for, and we need to grasp hold of the moment and meet that moment. And I hope that pastors especially are meeting that moment. But even me personally, I mean, I've had friends that, you know, I've known for years who really weren't churchgoers. I mean, they kind of believed in God, but not really all that dedicated. And I've had so many people text me just saying, you know, I really feel like I need to buy a Bible. I need to go back to church. I mean, this is really happening. And I hope that this is the start of not just a conservative wave and what we've seen kind of in this populist movement in America, but truly a refocus and a recentering on Christ, because that's ultimately what is going to change America. It's not going to be the Republicans versus the Democrats. It's not going to be Washington, D.C. What's going to transform this country and the world is if we truly have a realignment with truth. And truth, as we know, is the person of God. And I really hope that this isn't just a flashpoint moment, but it is a turning from all of the damage that we have seen to this country over the last, especially 20 years, but I would say even longer than that, 50 or 60 years down this road toward embracing sin. We've seen, you know, abortion decisions from the Supreme Court. We've seen the homosexual decisions from the Supreme Court. We've seen, you know, all of this just open embrace, but at the highest levels of government, of genuinely sin and evil. And when our hearts and our minds are changed to turn back to truth and Christ, that's ultimately what changes a nation, because that's what changes the individual.
Hey, Jenna, a change in subjects here. Were you surprised that James Comey, the former FBI director, was indicted? Was that a federal indictment?
Yeah. So it's out of a federal district in Virginia. So the DOJ is prosecuting that. I was surprised, frankly, because typically, you know, a Republican-led agency is often too hesitant to do anything that the left can claim is politically motivated or retaliation or lawfare, or, you know, any of these ridiculous things. But ultimately, I think that there is a very solid case. And of course, Comey has a right to due process, presumption of innocence, all of that in a court of law. But I'm not going to be sitting on the jury. I don't live in Virginia. So I can say that from what I've seen and from what the indictment shows, if you lie to Congress, then you should be indicted for that. And so this is a moment, I think, where the left is finally recognizing, you know, maybe we're not going to get away with all of this stuff and just assume that there's no accountability. I hope that this is just the beginning, because whether it's Republican or Democrat, if you violate the law, then you should be held accountable. And we need to be a law and order society, not just a politically motivated or law and order society, or assume that some people actually are and offices are above the law if you happen to have an R or D after your name.
Yeah. All right. Well, Todd and Copper, tell them we said hello. Now that you can, people can watch them on Instagram,
yes.
Right?
Yes, they can. And we've actually, in the midst of, you know, all of this, I've made that more private, with all of the security stuff. But I post some pictures on them, but they can follow me at Jenna Ellis Media. And I actually sent you the picture of Copper when he was saying hi, because he came up on the table there. So you can see that. But yes, they say hi to all of our listeners. And I love when people write in and reach me at Jenna@AFR.net. That's my email address here, and tell them hi.
So, Todd and Copper, that's from the Disney movie. What was that?
Yes, The Fox and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound, yeah.
Such a good classic, you know, none of the woke stuff.
Right.
It's one of the good ones.
All right. Well, Jenna, take care. Thanks for being on with us. And your podcast, I know a lot of people listening to you each morning at 7 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio with the Jenna Ellis in the Morning Show. When your podcast coming up this week, what will it be on?
Yeah, so we're actually going to do a special episode of all of these topics we were talking about, specifically on the rise of trans violence and why that is, the worldview, and what we as Christians need to do about it in terms of worldview. So I have a very special guest for that, and that will drop on Friday. So every Friday is when On Demand comes out. And so, again, you can go to the podcast page at AFR.net.
All right, thank you, Jenna. Take care.
Thanks, you guys too.
Okay, that's Jenna Ellis joining us from Florida. And she's that podcast, very popular too. But Jenna, if you want to listen to her show, and you should, it's 7 to 8 o'clock each weekday morning right here on American Family Radio.
I bet she covers some of that J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling? Yeah, yeah, whatever. How do you pronounce that correctly?
Well, it's spelled Rowling, but she's British.
So, you're talking about the Harry Potter correct. Author.
Correct. Yeah, the reason I mentioned that is because within the last couple of days, she's beginning to share some of her threats that she has gotten from trans activists over the years. So she shared some of those stories. I wonder if she'll cover.
Her life's been threatened.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, if you don't know, J.K. Rowling. I think Rowling is right, isn't it, Ray? Have you heard it?
I think Rowling is right.
Okay, yeah. She's a British author, and she's known worldwide for the Harry Potter
series.
But she is an ardent defender of women's rights and girls' rights.
And prior to the trans movement, she would have been considered on the left, necessarily radicalized like we know it today, but she's a left.
Right.
But because of this issue, she's having to pick sides, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's received threats because she says that if you support the trans movement, where men or boys can claim they're girls just because they feel like they are, and then like compete against girls in sports, real girls, that's unfair and that's against women's rights. And she's correct on that. But the trans
kind of
movement, to the their supporters, they can get very hostile and very ugly and violent sometimes.
And the reason,
and so she's had to protect herself. Of course, she has the money to do that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the reason one, she's very popular, but the reason we also use her as an example is because we know those on the right overwhelming majority of them support men and
traditional views on sexuality.
Right.
Yeah.
But for her to come out having a background of being a on the left, that has made her a prominent voice.
Well, you have several now. You have several prominent people. Bill Maher, right. who are on the left, who, Martina Navratilova, the famous tennis star.
That's right.
She's come out and been over and over. She's a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
But she says it's not you can't be a man and compete against women. You compete against girls. So, and Pete Hexett made it clear because he's, quote, against he's against, quote, dudes in dresses,
right.
end quote, right?
Right. No more dudes in dresses, he
That's what
today.
He said today. Yeah. You're listening to today's issues on AFR, Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, this is a continuing topic to something we began discussing yesterday. Yesterday, President Donald Trump hosted Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House, where they discussed Israel's war in Gaza, which is in retaliation, of course, for Hamas attacking them back on October 7th, 2023. Long story short, President Trump has what he's calling a 21-point peace plan for this situation and really the Middle East in general. I won't read all 21 points.
Oh, come on.
But I will say this. Point one, Gaza will be a de-radicalized, terror-free zone that does not pose a threat to its neighbors. Gaza will be redeveloped for the benefit of its people. If Israel and Hamas agree to the proposal, the war will immediately end, and both sides will return whatever hostages they still have. I've got some audio here of President Trump talking about this. Clip one.
Everybody who wants to see an end to the violence and destruction should be united in calling for Hamas to accept the extremely fair proposal so that we can end the war and get us back our hostages right now and have everlasting peace.
That everlasting peace part is kind of...
Sounds like a song.
Right. Some people are kind of scratching their heads going, you know, these people have always been fighting. I don't know that we'll have everlasting peace. But at least he's trying to do something.
Yeah, Ray, what do you think about what President... Have you read you know what point 19 is, Ray?
I do
well,
not.
I
don't know what.
Well, we can get back to that. But
bear with me. I'm ready when you need me, sir.
All right, go ahead. Wait, hold on, Ray.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right, Ray, Chris,
what's
point number 19?
By the way, I have posted these on our Today's Issues Facebook page. But number 19 is a process will be established to de-radicalize the population. This will include an interfaith dialogue aimed at changing mindsets and narratives in Israel and Gaza.
All right. Well, Hamas ain't going to go for this, but
no.
You go ahead and try it anyway. I guess giving them A for effort. But go ahead, Ray.
Look, point one is they're going to de-radicalize. Mm-hmm. They're going to de-radicalize Hamas. Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
Good luck with that one. You know, nobody's been able to do that. Wish them all the best. There is inherent in these 21 points. It's interesting that Netanyahu's agreed to this. It doesn't explicitly say a Palestinian state, but it's clearly, Chris, you can check me on that, but it's clearly leading in the direction of some kind of independent Palestinian state. Look, let's get to point one. Let's de-radicalize Hamas. And then there's going to be some kind of government set up in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor of that? Send the hostages back home.
Yeah.
All of that. What can you say? We wish everybody involved all the best, but the record of peace plans involving terror groups is not very hopeful.
Point number nine is this. Gaza
point
will be
nine,
yes.
Okay.
Point number nine. Number nine. Gaza will be administered by a temporary transitional government of Palestinian technocrats who will be responsible for providing day-to-day services for the people of the Strip. The committee will be supervised by a new international body established by the U.S. in consultation with Arab and European partners. It will establish a framework for funding the redevelopment of Gaza under the Palestinian Authority. Until the Palestinian Authority has completed its reform program.
Does it say where the Trump Hotel will be?
It does not. Maybe that was
our
point
resort,
22 and they had
Trump
to cut
resort.
It somewhere.
Yeah, it's going to be right on the ocean, Tim. You know that. He's going to build it right there on the shore.
With
you know,
lavish golf courses. And
what is this? Gaza technocrats. What a word to use in a piece.
That's actually a bluegrass group.
Oh, yeah.
The Gaza technocrats. Yeah.
When they opened for the Carpenters at the Pyramid in 1972, it was fantastic, let me tell you.
Yeah. Listen.
No, we want more.
We want more.
Oh, I can tell you what a technocrat is.
You want to hear from the guys at technocrats?
No, I've got all points here. I want more points.
Oh, more points. Well, we already covered one. Nine.
What's number 11?
Okay. 19. I got you right here. Number 11. An economic zone will be established with reduced tariffs and excess rates to be negotiated by participating countries.
Oh, that's right down Trump's alley right there. I mean, he lives for that kind of stuff.
He had him at tariffs.
What was Tony Blair, the former prime minister?
Yeah, he's on this deal.
His name's in this. What's his job?
He's basically like an envoy that's kind of in on the talks and trying to be a mediator between the two.
Between two what?
Well, between Israel and the so-called Palestinians.
The Hamas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Hamas is I don't think Hamas is going to agree that they're radical.
No, huh? They're just peace-loving. They're just peace-loving killers.
How are you going to de-radicalize somebody who doesn't think they're radical? This is a very serious situation, and it's sad on many levels. What's happening?
Yeah, it is.
So we're having a little fun with this, but it's a very. The situation there on the ground in Gaza, and you've seen it, is one of utter desolation and dystopianism, right, Ray?
Well, the surprise is Netanyahu's going to go along with this, which shows how bad the situation has become over there.
Right. Yeah, listen, the Hamas still hasn't released the hostages.
No.
They're still holding hostages.
Right.
From 2 years
ago. They're holding
the
bodies of some of those that have died. So it's just awful.
They say, right? Fred said something about 21 are still alive or something like that. They brought on their own destruction. Okay? Hamas did. You know, they brought on their own destruction, I'm sad to say, in Gaza by killing all those people, 1,200 people on October the 6th?
7th.
7th in 2023. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.